thank you. I'd like to thank Tom and Josh for inviting me to teach today. Before we get into the actual epistles of Timothy, which we'll start tonight, Josh and I are going to cover some background material with regards to Paul and Timothy. I'm going to be handling some material on Acts, and Josh is going to be handling some material regarding faithfulness and a few other things. So, Timothy, we don't find him a lot in the book of Acts. He's kind of in the background, but he's always there. And so we're going to kind of look at that and his relationship with Paul throughout that book of Acts. So let's take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 15. Okay, we're this is at the beginning of what is usually called Paul's second missionary journey or Paul's second itinerary. There's a variety of different names, but Paul's going on a journey. He's on a missionary journey, if you will. And in Acts 15, verse 40, we catch just him starting off. There was a little discussion that he had with Barnabas about who to take along. And Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul said, nah. Acts 15 and verse 40 we're going to go to, and said, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria, Cilicia, confirming the churches. Okay, so he's going off with, they've had the council in Jerusalem talking, dealing with some things, and have an epistle that they're going to spread about, and they're going to take the churches. They're going back to the places that he went on his first missionary journey. And this becomes important a little later. But in Acts 16, verse 1, we have the very first mention of Timothy. And when he came to Derbe and Lystra, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, or Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So that made Timothy a little bit kind of one foot in one world and one foot in another. He didn't quite fit in. I mean, realize that the Jews were not supposed to marry Gentiles, and yet his mother married a Greek. So it's like, whoa, what's going on here? So he's kind of half and half there. Which was well reported, Timothy, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So what were Timothy's qualifications? Well, he's a certain disciple. That's the first key. He was a disciple. He was not just a casual listener. He was one who disciplined himself. He was one who was a follower. The word was taught, and he listened. He was a disciple. And he was well reported. See, his ministry, his activity in the church in those area was known. He was well reported amongst the brethren. They'd say, Timothy? Oh, yeah, okay, that's good. I know Timothy, right? You say George, what do you think? George, yeah, okay, there we are. So he was well reported. And in verse 3, as someone kind of humorously pointed out, we have real commitment here. Okay, Paul would have him to go forth and took him and circumcised him. Okay, that's not just something you do casually, you know. It's a, you know, hey, it seems like I get a tattoo, get circumcised, you know, whatever. It took some real commitment on his part. He said, you know, Paul said, I want to bring you along with me. We got to do this. Timothy goes, I'm ready. Let's do it. So that's what his qualifications. Well, also think about this too. In Acts 14, we won't go there. I'm going to be talking a lot about Acts, and I'm going to gloss over many events because we simply don't have time to read them all. If you know, you got plenty of free time. If you want to go back and read some of these things in Acts, then you can read them. And it would be worth your while. But in Acts 14, in verses 1 through 3, you might want to make a note of that. This is where Paul the first time went to Lystra and Derbe, and he spoke the word there. And what happened when Paul went to Lystra and Derbe? What always happens when Paul speaks God's word? Trouble ensues because unbelief is there. They don't like what Paul is teaching, and so the trouble gets stirred up. Well, Timothy was there at those times. There was a notable miracle, a man who was healed, and he leapt up. You know, never had walked, leapt up, And, you know, they were going to sacrifice him. They thought he was Jupiter, thought he was one of the Greek gods. Well, that didn't turn out so well because they dragged him outside of the city and stoned him and left him for dead. Okay, and Paul got up and he stayed there and spoke the word. Now, Timothy was there. I don't know if Timothy actually saw him, but, you know, something like that happens. Do you think it would spread around? Yeah, Timothy heard those things. He saw the word spoken. He heard the word spoken, saw the miracles that happened as a result of the word being spoken. So he became a disciple. He was well-spoke, well-reported. Those were his qualifications. He didn't go to the University of Derby and get a bachelor's degree in whatever. He was just a disciple. The other thing I want to look at, too, is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 5, Paul makes a little comment about Timothy here. And I think this is a great one, too, is 2 Timothy 1:5. I don't want to touch the rest of this because it's, you know, part of an epistle that someone else is going to be teaching, but it says, "When I recall to remembrance," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother," we would pronounce this Eunice, at the actual Greek it would be Eunike, I am persuaded that in thee also, unfeigned believing. Unfeigned means without hypocrisy. His believing was just, Timothy was who Timothy was. He did not put on a pretense. You know, we understand that word hypocrisy comes out of the dramatic masks they used to wear in the Greek theater. You know, so they had the happy mask and you had the sad mask, whether you were drama or comedy. But it was a mask nonetheless, and you wouldn't see the person behind it. That's me, sorry. He had none of that. There's no cover. Timothy was who he was. You saw Timothy, and that's who he was. So that's the kind of person Paul selected to bring with him. A person who was well reported, a disciple, unfeigned. He's not there for his motives were right, because he was a disciple. So what happens next? Let's go back to Acts 16. And this is where we take a little bit of a whirlwind tour through the book of Acts. So he comes from Lystra, Paul takes him circumcised, and they head off. What happens? Well, God starts telling him, don't speak here, keeps moving him up till he get to Troas, okay, which is historical Troy. He's up there at the seaport town, and Paul gets the Macedonian call. He gets a vision at night, says, a man of Macedonia said, come over and help me. And immediately they responded, well, it's Paul, Silas and Timothy that are doing that. They immediately, you know, Paul gets the vision, they get up, pack their bags and head out to the seaport to find passage off to Macedonia. And what happens? They go to Philippi, the first big city in Macedonia. And what happens in Philippi? Paul speaks the word, there's a woman that's possessed and she's walking around, and finally Paul kicks the spirit out and everyone gets stirred up again. I mean, interesting thing, Timothy signs on to this trip and all he's going to get is turmoil and trouble, not in his life but in the areas, because he's speaking the word. So that's what happens in Philippi. Silas and Paul are thrown in jail, they're beaten, earthquake. Again, Timothy's not mentioned, but he's there. And understand also that Timothy is a young man at this point. There's no certainty as to how old he was. Talks about in the book of Timothy, don't let any man despise thee because of thy youth. And that book's written 10 or 15 years down the road from this here. So I would suggest that Timothy may be in his late teens. For those of you who listen to this, there's the teen fellowships on the front row, and I just gave them a stare. Okay? In his late teens, he was a disciple. At that point in his life, already he was a disciple of Christ. And so he's watching this. He's in the background. He sees Silas and Paul going through all this stuff. So then they leave. Where do they go from there? Through Amphipolis, through Apollonia. Sounds like Bologna, but then to Thessalonica. And they're there in Thessalonica for 3 days. And what happens there? more trouble because Paul's speaking the word. And then they get kind of run out of town and they go to Berea. And they say, they're in Berea. And then they go to Berea. The Bereans were more noble. They checked out what Paul was speaking. But then the people from Thessalonica that didn't like Paul, they came to Berea and stirred up the pot. And so they made a decision here. They had to figure out what they were going to do. So we're in Acts. That covered all the way into Acts 17:14. We'll pick up it in 17:13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, it was the word of God that was preached. They came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. Put your ribbon there, or marker, or I cheat. I have these little colored things I put in. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And here we'll see a little bit more of what happened. First Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 19. It says, and he's writing this later on, he's writing to the Thessalonians, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." So there's a little meeting they had here between Paul and Silas and Timothy and the believers there. And they said, well, everything's getting stirred up. What are we going to do? So they escort Paul down to Athens and leave him there. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So it says Paul and Silas stayed there in Acts, but you read later on, they sent Silas, stayed, and Timothy was sent off to Thessalonica. Well, where were those Jews that came and stirred things up in Berea? Where did they come from? From Thessalonica. Things were all stirred up there. And Paul, you know, you read the book of the Thessalonians, both of epistles, and you realize how much heart he had for those people. And he was afraid that those people, those Jews that were stirring things up, would have gotten to the believers. Okay? Because Paul had left. He'd gone out there. And he had to beat feet out of there over to Berea. And the believers who were there, who'd been with Paul for like 3 weeks, not a long time, he was concerned about those people. So what did he do? He sent Timothy. This is the first example, first time that Timothy is sent on a job or something by himself. Paul trusted him enough at this point, after being through all the stuff they went through in Asia Minor and in Philippi and Thessalonia and in Berea. Paul said, well, Timothy, go back. He had enough confidence and trust in Timothy that Timothy would be able to do the job. And I'm sure God said, send Timothy. Timothy was there. He knew them. Okay, he didn't send some random Berean. Okay, Paul, God could have said, you know, send this guy from Berea back there. He sent someone that the Thessalonians knew. Someone who'd been in the background. We didn't read about him in Thessalonica, but he was there the whole time. So Paul trusted him. David Buckingham, could you stand up and read, because I know you've got an NASB. could you read 1 Thessalonians 3, 2. Wait,
and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith.
Great. God's fellow worker. He was part of that thing. He was a fellow worker with God, just like Paul and Silas were. That fellow, it talks about fellow labor, but he's a fellow worker. So from here, we go in Acts, and we head down to Corinth. Turn to Acts 18. So Paul goes to Athens. He spends the time there. He preaches on Mars Hill. Then he decides to head to Corinth. And in Acts 18:5, he's there. He meets Priscilla and Aquila. And in Acts 18:5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves in blasphemy, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your own heads, for I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And skip down to verse 9. So he's there in Corinth. Again, things always are stirring up because he's coming there and preaching the word, God's word. He's bringing the light in. Unbelief doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Believers want to have, belief wants to have something to do with it. So there's a separation there. But what does the Lord say? Well, let's read verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Where in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, Paul kind of hit them pretty quickly. He hits Corinth and God says, stick. I got a lot of people here. So, and don't worry about it. You're covered. I have a lot of people in this city. And he spent a year and a half there. Okay, if you understand Paul, it's a long time for him to be in any one place. He was, you know, he probably had a bag of toothbrush and a coffee cup, you know, and that's what he went with. So he didn't put down roots, as it were. So in Corinth, he's there a year and a half, and the epistles of to the Thessalonians are written from Corinth. Okay, it's an interesting thing to trace that. We're kind of looking at the epistles not in the what is called the canonical orders, Romans, Corinthians, you know, as they're set, but we're looking at them in chronological order. Thessalonians was the first epistles written. They were written from Corinth. And if you look at the salutations in all the epistles, not all of them, but most of them, you'll see that Timothy is in all those epistles. He's always there. He's always with Paul. He's in the background. He's learning. He's doing things that Paul wants him to do, but he's always there in the background. And it's exceptional when he isn't there. So in Acts 19:1-20, which is too long to read, the word of God's moving out from there for 3 years. You know, 2 years and 3 months, I guess it is. And from... I skipped ahead of myself. Sorry. In Corinth, he says a year and a half. And at the end of Corinth, he kind of goes back through Macedonia, heads back to his home church in Antioch, and stays there for about a year. And then he starts his third missionary journey. And here he goes back to Ephesus. Okay, you follow me today. I hope I didn't lose there. Kind of skipped a thing there. So he goes back to Ephesus, and in Ephesus is where the word goes out for 2 years and 3 months. Timothy's with him all the time. Timothy's doing whatever Paul wants him to do. And in that epistle, he gets to Ephesus. The epistle of 1 Corinthians is written from Ephesus. So the word's being spoken out. Everything's moving out in Asia. You'd think Paul would be completely concerned about that. But he writes the epistle of 1 Corinthians. Now, I don't know how much you read 1 Corinthians. You know, it's, as Tom pointed out, it's the model church, right? No, it's not the model church. If they were, you know, if there's something wrong to do, they did it. But God loves those people enough that he was willing to write an epistle to those people and correct them, the reproof. And in 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 14. So Paul's dealing with lots of different things in this epistle. But he says in 14, says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. So he's correcting him. It's not, there's no malice involved in Corinthians, even though it's a sharp epistle. You know, God's word sometimes can be sharp. We heard that in manifestations last night. You know, if we accept that and we accept the reproof, then we will get profit out of it. I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul was the one that came and taught the word in Corinth the first time. Wherefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. Paul's saying, I taught you the word, I'm your father in the word, you follow me. Followers is that word, imitators. Okay? I want you to be imitators of me. Verse 17, for this cause, to be an imitator of me, for this cause I have sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy had been with Paul long enough. He'd seen so many things that Paul had done and understood the operation of the Spirit. I mean, you think of the Macedonian call and the revelation he got in Corinth about sticking there because there were many people. Timothy knew what Paul's ways were in Christ. Well, what are those ways? Okay, what were those ways in Christ? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians again. Again, an epistle, a place where Timothy was. He saw these things that happened. He was a firsthand witness of them and participant. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting in verse 3. These were Paul's ways. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed or tested of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's what Timothy was going to remind the Corinthians about. You read the same thing when Paul came into. He came not in with the word only, but in power. And the way, and this is the thing that Timothy was qualified to teach. He was qualified. He'd been a participant in this in Thessalonica. He had seen that. He remembered it in Corinth. What were Paul's ways in Corinth? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul's talking about how, as a minister, he could live off the ministry. He could receive money from those people and live off it. It was perfectly allowed, but he wouldn't do it. Okay. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 9:15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done also to me. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but against my will, a dispensation or administration of the gospel is committed unto me. For what is my reward then? For verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And you get an idea what this work is all about? How many times is the word gospel, the good message, in there? Well, here we get down to the nut. 19, for though I be free from all, yet I've made myself servant unto all. You know, Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples. That I might gain the more. As unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, I was out law, being not without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker there with you. Paul's ways were absolute service, to do whatever he needed to do within the bounds of God's love, within the bounds of the law of Christ, to help people, to serve them so that they could be lifted up, so that they could believe. Timothy was qualified to go back to the Corinthians and teach them and show them those things. See? More than just a guy that can exhort. He had so made part of himself what the Apostle Paul is all about. Now from here he goes back. Paul then sends from Ephesus. At this point, Paul's going to be done with Ephesus. He goes back to Macedonia in Greece and visits all the churches that he'd been there before. He goes to Corinth, who he'd just written this epistle to. That's part of Greece. And in Acts 20, Paul goes there as well. From Acts 20 on, Paul heads on down. He does this tour, and he heads to Jerusalem. Okay, and there's a listing in there in Acts 20, I believe, that talks about his companions, and Timothy is listed as one of his companions going to Jerusalem. Not only did Timothy see Paul preaching the word and being the ultimate servant, doing all these things, he saw Paul make a colossal mistake, okay? But he was there with him. He was a faithful servant to him, went with him, and observed and saw these things. So Paul ends up in jail. He ends up in prison. He's in bonds, as it says. And he writes what are the so-called prison epistles. And if you, again, you look in the salutation, in Philemon, Timothy's there. In Colossians, Timothy's there. In Philippians, Timothy's there. He's there. Paul writes these things from wherever he's in jail. I mean, there's some people that can say those epistles might have been written for Caesarea when the 2 years he was there. Some people consider that it might have been written from Rome when he was there. I'm not sure which. You have to make up your own mind on that one. But in Philippians, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And we see Paul say something about Timothy again. Again, you see, Paul always wanted to go back. He always wanted to find out how the believers were doing in the places that he had been. He was always concerned about them. He wasn't just, I'm going to blow through town, teach the word, and leave, and, you guys figure it out. He was always there trying to keep those people exhorted, comforted, built up, moving in God's word. And in Philippians chapter 2, we have the example of Christ and his service. In Philippians 3, we have the example of Paul and his background and his service and what he did. Sandwiched in there, we have a little section on Timothy. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Again, Timothy's been sent. He's going to give a little report. Verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Like-minded is a really horrible translation of that word. I mean, there's plenty of Greek words for like-minded, but this is the word isosukos. Now, okay, what's that mean? Any of you guys remember your geometry? And you have an isosceles triangle. Why is an isosceles triangle called an isosceles triangle? Because two sides are the same. That you measure from point A to point B and measure point A to point C, and they're the same. Okay? That's why it's called an isosceles triangle. The word sukos is not the word mind. It's the word soul. Okay? I can be like-minded with you, but can I be equal-souled with you? Maybe. But Timothy was equal-souled with the Apostle Paul. And consider the life of that man, Apostle Paul, and then consider Paul saying, Timothy is equal-souled to me. This is a man that I want to send to you to encourage you and help you. Someone who is so close to me that our souls are equal. Not just do we think the same things. It's deeper than that. Equal-souled. And that's who Timothy was at this point. You see the development in his life. He's a disciple. He's well reported. And he goes traveling with Paul through all these situations, through all this turmoil stirred up by unbelief, this separation where Paul would speak the word and separate the disciples from the unbelievers. And ultimately, then Timothy is still a young man. So now he's in his 20s, maybe. Okay. But he's equal soul to the Apostle Paul. And his care, he will naturally, sincerely care for you. And that care is a deep care. It's merimnao, the one we always talk about like Martha and Mary. She was all concerned about stuff. But he had a deep care. He just naturally, sincerely would care for those people, just like Paul did. In verse 22, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. He's been tested. The word proof is the word dokime. And when we get dokimatsu, all those words for it, be proof. He was tested and approved. Okay, he was tested. He'd been through the test. And he'd come out of that test being like soul with the Apostle Paul. And so that's the relationship. You can see over that time as Paul took him. I'm sure it's by revelation. I'm sure Paul just didn't say, oh, who's the... He's got the nice beard. Okay. Well, no. I'm sure it was by revelation that Paul picked him. But you look at who he was. And over the time, being with Paul, he learned and became as a father and a son. As Tom talked about last night, there's the formal word for son, like, you know, your company of Danny Jobin and Sons or something like that. This is the different word. This is the word where it's an intimate, close relationship with the father and the son. You know, you sit down together and your grown-up son and you sit down and just talk turkey and you're back and forth and you just know it. You're there. You're right there because of the great love that you have for each other. That's the word son here. And at this point, we leave Timothy. The next things written are to him. And so this is the relationship with Paul and Timothy. We've seen it through the book of Acts, and that's where we are. The next epistles we cover will be written to him, and that'll be tonight.
We're going to take a break, and by that clock back there in the corner, we'll be back at 20 till 11. All right? So by that clock, not by your phone or your watch, by that clock. Yep.